Okay.
Okay.
I want to discuss cloning, and the issue is there are a lot of issues in cloning. I'll just raise the issues at the beginning, and we'll just take it at a normal pace, and we'll get to whatever issues we get to. The rest.
Cloning in terms of taking.
Oh. One issue is the ramifications of whether it's ethical in halacha, halachically ethical, to clone. What's halachically ethical?
Clone animals,
clone people, clone in general. That's one. Two, the second issue, let's say we've gotten to the level we can clone a human being. In all probability, we're not tremendously far off that. And they got very close, actually. The Shanghai University, a year and a half ago, was able to, with this chimera and this whole, they got the rabbit to be born from the human egg. Somebody that did a fertilization with a human egg, and they got the rabbit to live for like 2 days or something. So they're getting closer and closer. And the trial is going to be, once you have the clone, let's say you murder him. Are you chayav misa? The classic issue where it's actually been discussed long before clone was a habamina was the issue we're going to see of whether a clone counts for a minion. All these side issues are a crazy klutzkashes, but they're relevant because they help define what's the status of a clone.
What would be the aim at all to think that they wouldn't have a kin of a person?
I'll show you why.
Right.
I'll show you why. Good, good, good.
Exactly,
good.
They're a person. Right.
I'll show you why. It's a four-way machlokas, nonetheless.
You make a clone to be your slave.
Does it matter?
Right. Is it Evan? We'll discuss. That's number two.
Spare parts card.
Number three, do you fulfill the mitzvah of puruvu with a clone? Okay.
But all comes back to, I guess, why wouldn't
you? Why wouldn't you, right? You feel this approval of a clone. And number four.
Well, if it's the same as you, then you haven't added to the world. It's not pretty for you.
Right, or then you have a question of, is it Gilead Arias if you sleep with your own clone?
Just the nature nurture.
Right, if you clone yourself, and then...
Or you clone you,
it's
Troy Valbein Hashem Ben Musa.
Oh my gosh. All right,
we
can go wild with this one. We can go in all these. We can go down this entire road. Don't try to say for a cola, you know, just all... They have these specified svarim now on every single topic. Now, they got to a second volume on a safer air face of Shechalios for Shabbos. They got two volumes, so I'm sure on this one, cloning, you can put out 5, 6 already, all series. But in any case, here we go. Cloning. We'll start from the Torah, the Pesukim. Es chuko saiti shmoru, behem techalot arbiya kiloyim, sod chalot tizro kiloyim, beget kiloyim, shatnes, lo yale alecha. This is the famous pasuk about mixtures, all types of mixtures. You can't mix different things together. And that's kilayim. We know it as shatnes, kilayim. I actually got a kilayim shiloh here in Manhattan. It's one area I thought I'd never have to deal with is kilayim. Certainly in Manhattan, I thought I'd never have to deal with it because no one has backyards. One guy with a brownstone in my shul who happens to plant all different things in his backyard. What's it called? So he wanted me to come over to see whether he's got kilayim. He's got a lot of different things growing there besides the hemp tree in the corner. He's got vines are usually the thing that causes kilayim. Vines are usually the cause kilayim. He's got strawberries and stuff like that. So it's who knows the kilayim? So I went to Rabbi Willig even with the guy's shiloh. Willig looked at me. He goes, I never even had to think about this. He's been answering shilohs for 45 years. No one asked him one kilayim shiloh, Rabbi Willig, in 45 years. And no one, yeah, never prepared shir and wayu. Why you never learned kilayim? So it's very hard to get even someone who can answer kilayim shilohs. And svarim on it is just Rav Chaim Kanievsky has 4 volumes on kilayim. So you have to look there. The guy, I told the guy he probably had to uproot his. He had to get rid of his strawberries back there at the end. Wow. Okay. Anyway, so
it's hemp or strawberries.
What? Hemp or strawberries? Wanted to go, right. So, kilayim. Beget kilayim shatnes lo yale alecha. So you can't have kilayim, any mixtures, improper mixtures upon you. What's the reason for this? So the beginning of the pasuk, Rashi says, gives it away. Et chuko sai tishmaru. Rashi says, chukim elu gzeiras hamelech she'ein tamu davar. Don't even think about the reason. There's no reason. It's a chuk. That's it. Move on. End the story. For Rashi, discussion's done from this pasuk. Ramban, though, in a famous Ramban, looks at Rashi and understands the word kiloy chok totally different. It can't be that God gives you a decree without any reason. Make yourselves crazy. I have no reason, no purpose. Just do it because I say so. I want obedience. Just do it. He goes, you can never have such a thing. Everything made by God is totally forged with ideas and depth to it. And he says the second paragraph, Vahatam bekalayim. What's the reason for kilayim? Ki Hashem bara haminim ba'olam. Because God created the different species in the world. Bechol balei hanafashos betzmachim balei nefesh hatnuah. Everything as far as that which grows, that which moves. Nosem em koach hakalodah sheyeskaimo haminim. God gave each one its own individual power for existence. Vetziva bekocham sheyotziu leminayim velo yishtar la'alam. God commanded that they should give off of their own type and they should not change. Leminehu. So therefore, one who is markiv, one who puts together grass, two different types of things, you're messing around with the minim that God had wanted here in this earth. You're messing around, you're playing around with the basic framework for which God had put in the earth. I think this, if you take the Ramban, is the beginning of an argument that one could make, certainly against hybrids and chimeras and things like that, that mix blood of this with that. You could begin to make an argument that there's certain minim, and we don't play around with the minim because they're supposed to give off on their own and don't mess around with that.
But isn't this we all eat now? Almost all the fruits are grafted now.
Grafting fruits and stuff like that, right. A lot of the times you have to rely on that there's a, let's say for example, an orange, right? So why don't we have to investigate whether the orange is a pure orange or grafted with some other fruit? Because the way you're only going to get real kilayim is already, it's already a miut of a miut, because you need a vine to be there along with another. There are limitations how far it goes. But the basic premise the Ramban is laying down is that God intended there to be certain separate species, you know, and it also could be the isser is not on the eater, the isser is on the planter. That's probably the answer. The issue is mainly on the planter, not on the one eating it.
But why is Leminehu? Why are we assuming to define it that way? Couldn't Leminehu mean any species should be exactly what it was, like the super tomatoes that are resistant to cold that they work on? It's grafted from other kinds of tomatoes, they find a resistant strain, and they graft those together. It's not always...
So consider, within its Minehu, if it's the tomato, the one that are resistant strain, not resistant strain, they're all Minehu. But once you start going out beyond that, it's no longer Minehu. So I'm just saying, I don't think this is a compelling argument yet. I just think this is the beginning stages of a philosophy that's against, that would be more inclined to be against it.
Isn't it Hashem or God, or whatever you want to describe it, that gave us the knowledge? If we're believing in true Amunah, or whatever, that everything's... And it's Hashem who gave us the knowledge that to be able to start cloning. So if it's something that he didn't want, that we're changing his level of creation, then
why give us the knowledge? Yeah, but why give us the knowledge of how to murder? Why give us the knowledge how to do evil in the world? It could be it's another temptation, and we have to be able to set a moral standard that we don't do these things and hold back. We may have the ability. I could create the finest murder in history, the greatest bank robbery. God gave me the wisdom in it. I once, years ago, I was getting into screenplay writing. I'm from LA, so yeah. To do that once in your life. So yeah, I started screenplay writing, and I had such a beautiful idea. It would have. I'm serious. I think to this day it would have made millions of dollars. It was a murder. It was a horror, like one of those. What do they call it? There's no purpose, just killing for no reason. There's a name for that genre, slasher. It was a mommish, a brilliant slasher idea for a movie. I wanted to go ahead with it, and I said, you know what, is it right that I'm going to be spending, let's say it would be a year, dedicated to writing a slasher movie script? Meters-wise, I can't imagine it's a good thing. Am I supposed to bring it out to the world? So I actually had a talk with Lester, you know, the screenplay writer from L.A., the film guy who won the Emmy, Third Rock from the Moon or Sun.
David Borkach?
Someone, that guy. So I sat, I talked with him about it, because I'm sure he's very from Balchuva, and he's talked a lot with this stuff. So he said that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach told him that you can go about your business, he goes, make a living off of it, he goes, entertain people, he goes, but once your products don't have a moral value to it, he goes, you have to ask yourself, if it's neutral, so fine, and every job has to have great moral value to it, but if it's in a negative side, then you have to ask yourself if that's appropriate or not. So Lamai said,
you know,
the end
well
of the day,
it would sell if a rabbi made it?
I know, but I know.
Rabbi, yeah,
I thought about all that. I know. But Lamaisa, I canned the film, and that's on hold right now. We'll see what happens, how the show goes and everything. Okay. So, anyways, how do we get to slasher films?
It goes back to
you're not playing around.
You're not playing about
brilliant murder.
Right, things get into your head. But you have to resist. Yeah.
About can you make a distinction between something that is, you know, zero sum game, hurts, is better for you but hurts someone else, versus something that is better for everyone?
In playing the numbers, it might be better for larger amounts of
time. No, I mean, if you, for kilayim purposes, if you can come up with something that...
Well, Kilayim, again, it was obvious extension to other cases. Why would God give you the info? But the Kilayim issue is not that it hurts anybody. It's that you're just... The main hakbara for the Ramban was that you're playing around with the certain properties that God set in the world, and he wanted certain species to give up certain species, and you're messing around with it.
Where do we see that? Where is that?
Ramban said that based on Kilayim, he said that's the reason, that's the chukosai, and he says that's the definition of liminehu. That's the definition of Linehu, and God does that in the beginning of Bereishis. That's Linehu. You have a similar idea in the Sefer Achinuch when he's talking about Kishuf, magic, sorcery. And he talks about what's the problem with Kishuf. Shashem Baruch Hu Sam Betchilas Abriya. He put in the beginning of creation, Mechol Dover Dover Medivrei Olam, Teva Lifol Pulasa Tova. He gave everything a positive way it could act, Veyishra Latovas Bnei Olam, and it can do good. Mitziva Kol Echa Lifol Polam, and God wanted each thing to do what it's supposed to do. As it says in Bereishis, Linehu, Begam Al Kol Echa Bechad, Him and everything has from above. I clipped the second half, which says the Sefer HaKhinuch says that one should try to stay. The problem of magic is that you need to stay with Derech HaTeva. God gave you this natural world. Stick with the natural world. Don't play around with the natural world. God wants you to stick with it. There, you have to play around. You could make a distinction. Also, it's not unnatural. Unnatural. That if you're doing through cloning, might be a very natural process if you know how to do it. Might be natural, but once again, the Sefer HaKhinuch is getting at Sadia. There's a structure here. Maybe don't mess around with that. These are just a couple marmakomos which take the side, I think, which begin the side of the argument that says, lay off this, lay back from this. Now, there are a ton of marmakomos on the other side. Once again, I'll only give you one or two, and that is Bereishis. This goes more with what Avi is saying. Bereishis Perikalf Pasukav Ches. Vayivarach Hosam Elokim Vayomerlin Pru Revu Umiluet Haaretz V'chiv Shua. One is supposed to be fruitful and multiply and conquer the earth. Conquer it. Time and time again, so many of the Mefarshim have explained conquer it, that God gave us this world. God said, here it is. Make the best of what you can with it. Do good with this world. Make the best. If you could make great things, make good things with it, God loves that. Nitzchuni b'ni, the Gemara says, above the sea in Erevin. God says, you beat me, my children. He loves it that we could do things with creation and sort of beat God at his own game, so to speak. God loves that. And maybe that could be the definition of keep shua. And also, you have here, I found from Rav Yonasan Eibshitz. I actually was able to put it. It's in the back. Rav Yonasan Eibshitz in the Tiferes Yonasan. Okay. It's the piece that begins with a paragraph where there, Vayomer Elav Ani Kel Shakai, Italech Lefanai Vayetamim. This is, by the way, Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz over here, and he says it's on the Pasuk of Avram, where Avram says, I am, Kel Shakai, walk before me, and we'll be Tamim. You'll be, whatever that means, simple, innocent, good. Vayesh Lahavin. Lama dafka kan kodim sha'amr lo hayatamim al yidei amila omer lo ani kel shakai. Why after he gave this idea of being tamim, he gave him the mitzvah of bris mila, why dafka now did he tell Avram, my name is kel shakai? Why did he give him that name then? V'nira diyadua, it's known shenikra shakai because sha'amr lo olamo die, enough. Meaning, far kasafti. What I mean is like this: Sha'omer la olam al daich to adam shituf la kadosh baruch hu. Oh, 2 weeks in a row we did shituf. Last week was shituf as far as joining la havdil, as far as joining God with the Father and the Son. And here he's using shituf the opposite way, that God made a partnership in ma'isa bereishis, because it says nase adam b'tzalmenu. He consulted the angels when he made man. Kid musenu that kadosh baruch hu baruch hakol va'al yidei adam, and through man though, that's the partnership. Everything finishes. God doesn't create the finished product, the bread. God creates the beginning stages, the wheat, whatever the basic, the ground, the kernel, and we have to foster it and cause it to grow. Then he says, that's life. That's what this is. That's Kel Shakai. God says, I am the God who is dying. He says, stop there. I stop right there. I'm done. Now you take over. You got the ball in your hand. Run with it. This, I think, is a very compelling argument to argue that God wants us to do what we can in this world. Go for it. Run with it. God, there's certain things He excludes based on the psukim, kilayim, whatever the reasons are. It could be like Rashi. But there are things where God says, I stop. Kel Shakai. I stop right here. I give you the power. Now do what you got to do. Make the most of this world. I think that, on the other hand, gives an ethical argument back for why God wants us. God wants, why does Bris Mila, the Apikoros asks in the Gemara Ksuvos, the Apikoros asks Rabbi Akiva, if God is so perfect, why do you make you guys imperfect with the foreskin? So he said, because God gives us the basic elements, and we have to be the makir b'patish. We're the final blow that finishes the whole process. We finish the whole process over here. Okay, so that is. That's Rabbi Yonasan and Eibshitz, and that idea is should be very familiar. I think we've heard it once or twice. I don't know from where, but it's gone around our heads in school or whatnot. Okay, so I think that discusses that issue basically of whether or not one should go on the process of making clones. You have to address the issues of chaos could ensue because of it. You know, who knows what could happen? Of course, but those are more social issues. And the issue, I think, of the ethics of doing it are going to hinge upon these two ideas, which so many different Meir Makomas and the Rishonim and early Achronim discuss these elements of whether we're allowed to play, how strongly are we allowed to play a role in the development of nature and the way things are used. I mean, there's no posik who would ever tell you that you can't use, when they discovered, you know, nuclear energy and turned it into chemotherapy and things like that, and radiation, when you go to take those final steps, I don't think there's any posik who would ever, Nachman of Breslov was against all medicine, but you rarely have such a thing of any posik saying, we're messing with nature, we're taking things from trees and we're making medicines out of it. No one says such a thing. No one would say such a thing. And therefore, I think it seems to me, there's not going to be, when the time comes, if it does come, there's not going to be too much strong opposition from the frum Jewish world. The Christian right is going to go wild, but the frum Jewish world is not. I don't see them having too much issue with it.
You can be frum in a Scientologist after all.
What?
You're right. You can
still be a Scientologist, right? That's right. The wrestlers are purists as far as medicine. Okay, fine. The next issue I think is most relevant to us because we daven. So the issue is: can a clone be counted for a minyan? It's a wild question, and I bring it up mainly because from this discussion you get the definition of how Judaism understands the clone, possibly. Okay, first page, Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Shlosha Shutfim Heim Ba'Adam. There are three partners in the creation of man: Hakadosh Baruch Hu, God, Avi Ve'Imo, father and mother. God sees us as a shutuf. Once again, by the way, I think it's a similar idea. God wants us to finish the process. I think it ties into our idea. Now, you have the idea of something being created, whatever it is. You have Da Samachayam Beis Gemara Talmud Bavli. What happens is over here on the bottom, they're talking about different types of, Ovi Yadoni, the different types of evil spirits and things like that. And what happens over here is Amar Rava. Rava says, Ibo'u Tzadike Baru Alma. Kishinemar, oh here it is, middle of the third line, top of the page. Top of the second page. Rava Bara Gavra. Rava created a man. There it is. First clone, first golem. It's called the famous golem. Maharal is said out of the golem. Rava Bara Gavra. Rava created a man. What did he do with it? What do you do if you create a man? What are you going to have him do? Shadre Lakami de Rav Zera. He sent him to Rav Zera. Havikah Mishtai Bahadir. Rav Zera was talking with him. Veloka Bahavikah Mahadirlai. And the clone wasn't answering him. The clone wasn't answering him. Rav Zera was asking him, Kashas, Rav's clone, I want to ask him. It wasn't saying anything. Amrle min chavreat hadalafrecha. He said back to him, from wherever you came from, go back to the dirt. Go back to nothingness. Go back to nothing. That's the whole Gemara. That's the entire Gemara about the first creation of a sort of a clone like this. Why didn't he want him around? Why did he send him away? Why did he send him away?
Just because he didn't talk? He could have been deaf.
What?
He could have been deaf.
Right. What if the guy? What if the guy was not sure? He couldn't hear him. What if he was a mute?
The clone is a mute.
What?
It's a lousy clone.
Clones are going to be lousy. The first 20 years, the clones are going to be horrendous. They couldn't keep Dolly alive. Dolly stayed alive for how long? What, 6 months? How long did Dolly live? The clones are going to be something a little bit off. What's that movie where they created that kid, that evil child, whatever? This is going to be... Cemetery. What? Pet Cemetery? This is going to be evil children? There's going to be evil clones for a while. Nebuch, by the way, most money and support for cloning research, illegal cloning research, comes from parents who have lost children. Yeah, who want the prospects of a clone. So
they save the mask of the other so they can clone them.
They save what?
They save the DNA. They save DNA.
Oh wow!
Sort of creepy.
Yeah. So the Gemara, let's just first do the Marsha, then we'll pontificate about the Gemara. The Marsha on the Sanhedrin says over there, why didn't he want him? He says, Lofisha koach haneshama shehu bedibor. The koach of the neshama is in the speech. Lo haya yechol livra. Lofisha ein bo haneshama. You cannot possibly create that which speaks, because the koach of the neshama is in the dibor. Lefisha ein ba neshama shehu aruach ol lamala. Because v'yipach ba'ap of ruach, it says that God created us with the ruach mala, an ability to speak. And therefore, if the clone, since it was a fake entity, it was a creation, a human creation, it was never imbued with a holy, with a spirit, with a neshama, and therefore it couldn't speak.
It's as if it's an animal.
It's nothing. It's even lower.
Maybe they create a speaking clone.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this goes around the window. Your clone can talk.
Right. This Marsha is
assuming they'll be able to make him talk.
Yeah.
But according to this Marsha, can you say that someone who's a mute doesn't count for a minion? Because if they don't have that,
they don't have the quality of human quality. According to Marsha, I think that's going to be relevant. According to Marsha, that's going to be relevant. Can't count because he can't speak. What?
You could cheat with the clone.
Probably all these assurim shouldn't apply. We're going to see what's the definition. What? How much of a human do you need to violate the assurim and to fulfill positive mitzvahs? These are going to become issues. They're going to be fighting about it. They're going to, it happens all the time. When you have these tshuvas and you learn things that, you know, I teach high school kids and you'll learn things and they see something like, why is this relevant to my life? Why am I doing this? You don't realize how every tshuva or every halachic decision is going to come back many years later. This Chacham Tzvi probably sat on a shelf for 200 years, which we're going to see, which talked about the golem. It was probably just fun trivia. It was never relevant until Isaac Asimov started writing about the concept of cloning and everyone started going with the research. These things all come back and do become relevant, even the least relevant case, even cows following the rules of passage. Well, it's a good, you have a double whammy. You're saying Tarti to Lareusa, double whammy. So let's see. All right. So he says like this, Hainu mina chamisha oskin b'sefer yitzir shtarkin likos lezek kumo huna chavrin. He goes, this thing that he called him a chavraya, he assumed he was created through sefer yitzira. There's talk that you're able to create, and there's a Gemara that says in Pulim that Avram was able to create maybe human beings with the Sefer Yetzirah. This mystical Sefer, which we don't really have. We think we have, Isaac Ravari Kaplan did a translation, but it's probably not the real Sefer Yetzirah. We don't know how to use it. But the mystical tradition is that these people knew how to use it, were able to create worlds. But it wasn't a real human being. It didn't have the ability to speak. The question is, what about someone who's a mute? What about someone who's a mute? So the way you'd look at it, it's based on a technical halacha not related to this, but Rabbi Kiva Eger says that for the mute, their mind is their replacement. When they think of a speech, their mind is the replacement of the dibor. Everyone was created with ruach mamala. They can't exercise it because of some impediment, some deficiency, or something else. But they were created with Ruach Mala. His argument is that the clone was never created with the Ruach Mala. It wasn't like there's Ruach Mala and it got stopped up by something. It's not there. It's never in the being, in the beast. So according to the Marsha, that's why he said, go back, you're nothing, you're not human. He was hoping a human clone was going to happen, and he said, nah, you're nothing, they haven't figured it out. You're nothing, they haven't figured it out. So now, this Marsha is fascinating, because if one day they're able to create a speaking clone, then the Marsha is a little, is that problem. They're going to have to figure out how the Marsha is going
to
fit.
Maybe he's referring to a neshama.
But he's saying, Lefisha koch haneshama shu b'dibor, koch haneshama is in the dibor. Lo hayachol livra. You're not able to create such a thing. Lefisha im bo haneshama. Because there is no neshama.
Here's the meaning. Creation, this is different than a golem, where she sat with a mold of clay.
Yeah.
The derech through which a clone will be born is a derech rugil of a person being born. It's just the question of whether it will prepare, or whether the conception is the same is a very different matter. But the vehicle through which it's born is
Rabbi
the same
Yashiv,
process.
Rabbi Yashiv entertained the possibility that the clone is an extension of you, of whoever they're using DNA from. Because it's not like the golem in this Gemara. I think that's the
it's
way.
It's not a lump of clay.
It's not this thing out of nothing. Sefer Yetzirah and rise from the dust coming together and a golem. No. When we're taking our DNA and making a clone of ourselves, it could be just, it's picky. If it talks, you could say for the Marsha, it's just using an extension of our neshama. It's like plugging an extension cord to get our neshama over to something else. So it's just a wild outcome. I think you'd solve the Marsha quite easily.
So that person said clone?
What? We're going to get to Mamzeres. Does it create Mamzeres? All those issues. Let's see if we get to it. Chacham Tzvi. Here we go. The Chacham Tzvi. Okay. So the Chacham Tzvi says as follows. This is the famous tshuva relating to this topic of the Chacham Tzvi, of the Chacham Tzvi itself. It's in Siman Tzadik Gimel, and here we go. So the Chacham Tzvi says as follows. Adam hanotzer al yedei sefer yetzira. A person who got created through the Sefer Yetzira, similar to the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Rav Bar Agavra, v'chein he'idu al ziknei hagon Rav Eliyahu, that they also said about the Vilna Gaon that he was able to do the same things. Mi mitzarif la'asara le'dvar matzrichin asar. Can the golem be counted for the minion of ten?
Chelm.
What?
Yeah.
Beitin kilas kodesh chelm. It's like the Kelm. I hear what you're saying. Okay, Mimet Starf La Sar Ladvar Matsrich and Asar. Do you combine him for things that need 10 or not? Kigon Kadesh and Kedusha. So what's the arguments? Mi Amrina, do we say Kevin Dechsivin is Skadashti Betoch B'nai Yisrael, and I will sanctify myself among B'nai Yisrael? He's not B'nai Yisrael. This guy's not really B'nai Yisrael. Something you just created. He was never in any bris. He was never there at Har Sinai. And he never converted. So lo mitzaref, old Dilma, or perhaps came into Kaimalam the Sanhedrin, or maybe because we hold in Sanhedrin, Hamagadal Yisom Betoch Beso, Ma'alav Akasav Ki'ilu Yaldo, one who raises a child in their house, it's as though you gave birth to them. Oh, it's the big hetzer that sits Eliezer. He does away with a lot of the problems of kissing a child. So you adopt a child, a girl. He says, can you kiss her? You want to kiss your daughter? She's getting older. Or Tzitz Eliezer said, not a Shiloh. He says he thinks the heter comes from this pasuk, from this concept of the Gemara, which says, Hamagadol Yisom Sofeso, one who raises an orphan in their house, it's as though you gave birth to them. The debate on that issue is going to be, how far does that go? It's as though you gave birth to them.
If a golem were someone created from a sefer yetzira, like a golem formed as an adult?
What? I'm picturing Big Thing, not a baby. Yeah, yeah. I'm picturing, you know, like, Robert created him and went through a Zayre. He would have to wait a lifetime before he got there. I don't think he created him like a little gremlin and then it grew and grew and grew.
He created it.
I think he created it where you wanted it. Yeah. And then he created him where you wanted it.
Also, a major acrylic to a clone, which grows up.
As a baby?
I mean, the other ones can't talk. They're not part, they couldn't
from
have been
the
not part of Klal Yisrael.
From the egg.
Right.
Yeah, I hear you. Hachanami kevin shemaisi adam shel tzadikim hu havilei bechlal b'nei Yisrael. Or maybe since all these stories were stories of maisa tzadikim doing these, maybe they are included in b'nei Yisrael. Shel tzadikim heinei, because we say the maisi adam of the tzadikim, that was the creations of the tzadikim, that is their descendants. Then nearly, and he says, it seems to me, back and forth, the kevin de ashkechal na Rav Zera. Since Rav Zera said, you're a min chavraya, tuv lafrecha, go back to the ground, hare shahargu. He says, I think from there you see, he killed him. He didn't say, go back to the ground, descend from before me. He was saying something, whether it's from the Sefer Yetzira, that he knew how to shut down the robot. He knew how to shut down the machine. There's got to be a way. There's a line you say, and then like RoboCop, right? RoboCop, when you say, what is it? Sector 4, you know, and then he shuts down. He just stops. So it could be the same. He's telling him, Tuv lafrecha, and that shuts the whole thing down. Sarei shahargo. V'i salkedait kashayesh bo toelis l'tzarfo l'asar l'chol darish v'gdusha lo hayar zer. If he had a interesting argument. He goes, if he had a positive function to help with a minion, Rav Zever wouldn't have got rid of him. People struggle for minyanim. Many shuls struggle to get a minyan in the morning. Why would he, Rav Zera, get rid of a good guy who would be good for a minyan somewhere? If he got rid of him, it must mean. If he got rid of him, it must mean that he couldn't have been counted for the minyan. Who gets rid of somebody who counts for a minyan? Wow. This is argument for rabbis who kick out certain, a lot of tough rabbis out there who kick out Balabatim. How could you throw someone away who counts for a minyan? All right. It's almost like this whole discussion is tongue in cheek, but alright. So.
We should have brought this up with the moisture shear.
What?
Should have brought up.
Ooh, the moisture shear. I want to tell you before I forget.
Could a clone be a master?
Could a clone be a master?
Isn't it a bear though if you kill him?
Yes. So fine. So he says, but maybe he's not. But he thinks he is, he says he's not Mitzaref. I skipped a line. This is an important one. He says like this, that the Af She'im Bo, he says, hold on, if there's a purpose and function of joining into a minion of 10, why do Rav Zera send them away? And he says like this, however, and this is a split that he makes, The Ach She'ein Bo Isser Shvichas Dam. Even though there's no Isser of Shvichas Damim, he goes, even though there's no Isser of Shvichas Damim, the Hachi Dayikra, as that's the inference of the Pasuk, that Shofech Dam Ha'adam, meaning Ba'adam Damo Yishofech Dafka, meaning someone who's created from a human, the Hainu Uber, a fetus, this is his definition, why a clone might not be a human, I think even if they did it from DNA. Uber hanotzer b'mei imo, a fetus that's created from the mother's, within the mother's womb. That's where you're chayav mishum shvichas dam.
What's uber mean?
An uber is a fetus.
Uber.
So the question is, b'mei adam,
b'mei imo,
that mean that he's grown in the womb of the mother, yes. Yannick sac? Well, then that's not a mission. Talking about the moment of cloning, is it fertilization? It's not at the moment when the baby's developing the amniotic sac.
No, it's not developed. It's hanotzer. The baby, the egg, and, you know, by the way, it's an application for in vitro and all that stuff. What?
How do we know that notzer doesn't mean birth as opposed to fertilization?
The uber's notes are. It's created. Notes are more created, not formed.
If someone converted, so they didn't have that.
If someone converted, but still notzer b'mei imo. It was still formed. It's the point. Meaning, as far as being a Jew, the definition is not Adam. This is saying, as far as murder, the definition is: are you an Adam? And what's the definition of Adam? He doesn't say being formed in the stomach of a Jewish mother. He says being formed in the stomach of a mother. Of its mother. B'mei imo.
People are going to fight then. There's my focus. They can say the definition notzer, meaning notzer being the moment of birth, or notzer meaning that.
No, I think if you look in the Gemara's and Chelek and Sanhedrin, you see notzer over there straight across is fertilization. Mishum shvichas dam yotze hahu gavra debar rava shalom nasa b'meisha mikol makom. However, since there is a toelis, he still shouldn't have removed them from the world, or it must mean he doesn't count for the minion. So his argument is, of course, we're not talking about murder. He could kill him. He's saying like this. This is his point. I think I only got it now. His point is that the fact that he murdered him with the tuv l'afrecha, that doesn't prove whether or not he could have counted for the minyan. He's allowed to murder him because he's not formed, he's not real Adam, he's not formed in the womb of a mother. Fine, but we don't need an Adam for a minyan. Maybe we don't need an Adam for a minyan. Maybe you just need someone who belongs to Bnei Yisrael. How do you belong to Bnei Yisrael? So he threw that out. Someone who's raised in the home, someone who is, what's it called? Someone, it's a big implication.
But there's still Adam.
What?
They may have started as part of Klai.
No, he's saying, Adam is B'nai Imo. That's separate. That's Adam. For a minion, something else. So how does he know that this guy doesn't count for a minion? Simply because of the social reaction of getting the guy out of this world. Meaning, it's not the murder, the fact that he murdered him, that showed that he wasn't included in the minion. That to him wasn't the kicker. He said that's separate. He was allowed to murder him because he's not an Adam. But he still could have counted for a minion. But how do I know he doesn't count for a minion? Because Rav Zera never would have gotten rid of someone who could have fit into the parties of Dover Shabbat Kedusha. He never would have gotten rid of him. It's interesting. The murder is not the issue here. What you see from here is that hypothetically, in his Habamin, he concludes no, but for a good three lines, he believes that a clone as the way they have here, a clone is going to be not an Adam as far as murder, but possibly an Adam as far as Dover Shabbat Kedusha and a minion, a entity. It could be, that's a good trivia question. When could a non-human being count for a minion? So in the Havamina of the Chacham Tzvi, that's the only answer. In the Havamina of the Chacham Tzvi is the only time a non-human can count for a non-Adam.
Tomorrow,
you'll have the answer. Okay, next. Here comes his son, the Shelas Yavetz. The Shelas Yavetz. Okay. Bahad Mesafkale Lamar, that Abba Besifro, Lamar Abba, to my master, the father, Besifro, Ben Notzar, they say for Yitzira, Im Itzdar, Flasar. So he goes, Kashali, my kamiboyle, atu mi odif mecherish shotav akot neinam estarfim. What's he asking? Would this person, why would you think he would count for a minion? You think the thing that's created from the mud in the backyard in Sefer Yetzirah is any better than a minor or a deaf mute who does not count for a minion? You think the golem would be better than the minor? Any of those? It's nothing.
He's just got to look the role.
What?
He's just got to look the role.
Okay, so Afogav du Bnei Yisrael hain, Vadai v'cheshuvin kashar dem Yisrael, v'chol davar chutz v'na mitzvah, z'hor gen chayev, v'yislut. He says, even though they're from Bnei Yisrael, V'chashuvin kishar adam, and they look like everybody else in Yisrael, l'chol davar, except for, and they're considered like a Jew like everything else, except for mitzvahs, and if you kill them, you're going to be chayav. V'islahu daisa kalishta. Mi'u v'kol shekein akotan v'ati l'chal das v'filu hachi l'mitzdarf. You see, he mentions this being having daita kalishta. I think he's picturing like a Frankenstein, like a weak mind, like a, you know, like a, you know, like a soft head. You know, I think he's picturing really a Frankenstein over here. So hi gavra lav bar deahu klal. This thing is not a bar das at all. The cotton at least is eventually going to graduate and become a bar das. He's roi lios bar das. This thing is never going to graduate to that level. Dav bar deahu klal. Srichal amemer mias beklal cherishu dahash tar abzer bahade below. He didn't answer him. Vade gara minya elishiyesh ladaktik. So he goes, by the way.
It's mentally challenged counts as a minion, no?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on far. They don't understand what's going on, the concept of minion and all that. No, the reason why deaf mute was excluded, says the Rashash, was only back then when they had no ways of educating. There was no way of educating the deaf mutes. They had no concept of what was flying. He says, since we have these new schools, he said, in Germania, in Germany, he says they should be counted in all areas. There's the Balamor who disagreed, who thought the exemption was not subjective, but was objective exemption. So you have that machlokes in the post, and we assume they do count now. Nowadays, we assume they're educatable is the bottom line. Someone has das to be able to figure it out. That's enough. The Gemara, yeah.
If you have nine people in a minyan you can hear, and one deaf mute who can't answer Kaddish or Kedusha because he doesn't know when to, I don't know.
When
the Sorry. You have two. Can they count for a minyan?
What do you mean if they have two?
One's a chazan, you need another one.
How? Yeah, I mean, someone nowadays we assume. The Gemara Chagiga already has an educatable version. In Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara has two guys who everyone thought were wasting their time in the Beis Midrash, like just grunting to each other. They said those guys are the deaf mutes now. They're just sitting around doing nothing. They don't understand a thing. And then it turned out one day when there was a shiloh in the Beis Medrash, one of them was pointing to the answers all over the place, and they realized these guys know more than anybody else in the Beis Medrash. So there were basic levels of education. Okay, so he says like this. Now he's going to get into, but Charles Yevitz is different than the Chacham Tzvi. He's going to get into details of what this thing was, as though he was talking to the Golem. He says it was soft-minded. How does he know? Like, it's wild. He seems to know and have a tradition of how these things work exactly, that which his father, the Chacham Tzvi, did not have for some reason. So he goes, Hai gavra delav bar dehu klal tzrichol amer miyav beklal cherish. So he's got to be in the category of a cherish, deaf. Daha ishtai rabzer, because rabzer talked to him and he did not speak to him. So he says, might be the same category. V'lechor in yirishaya shomea. Daha shadri lakame de rabzera. He goes, I think he just was a mute. I think he was a mute. That's why he couldn't answer. How do we know he heard? Because Rav Zera told him, go, get out of here. Ihachi havile cheresh hashomea ve'eino medaber. That makes him a cheresh she'eino medaber. Gemara in Chagiga beizam beiz. Havi could be keach l'kol davar. He's considered like a fully functioning a Jew for everything. So he says, for a moment, it seems like, wait a second, maybe this person, I disagree with my father. Aval ein ze nira emes ki im haya b'koach hashmia hayarua gam l'koach hadibor. He goes, but the truth is, if it really had the koach to be able to hear, it should have also been able to speak. Why? I don't know, but let's finish the sentence. He says, yes. What he thinks probably happened was like a dog. When he went like this, go return home. Why did the golem figure out what to do? Not because he could hear, but because like a dog. You know, you go like this, he knows where to go. He sees from symbols. He goes, Mevim Buramizas Vakritas. He knows signs, like a Kelev. Lelech Vashlichas Laholich Ulaivi. He knows to bring things, the slippers, for the master. And he says, Ukosav Besefer Chasal. I'm not sure what that is. She'ein Chiyuso Elokechias Abehema. His liveliness is only like that of an animal. Therefore, one who kills it, there's no Avera at all. Unless the Ein Elokech Behemas, but it's only like an animal in the form of a human. That's what it is. It's an animal that looks like a human being. You're allowed to kill an animal. You can't do it for sport, for fun, just for no purpose. But if there's one, there's a tzarech, either food, or whatever the tzarech, or he had to get this thing out of the way, it's dangerous for people, whatever it is. Enough of a tzarech, you can't do that by murder. Need is not enough for a reason in Judaism. But for something that's not a human being, that once there's a need, you can do it. Well, you can do it. Plenty of Jewish women have fur coats. I mean, that's, I guess, some considered minimal amount of tzarech. Okay. Okay, that's good. That's the second. So there's two opinions. Chacham Tzvi, Shelus Yaivetz, the Shelus Yaivetz.
And that's his son?
That's his son. That's son of the Chacham Tzvi. You have the Mari Asad. I don't have it in the packet, but I wrote notes on it. The Mari Asad says that, you know why he can't be count a sleeping, he goes a sleeping person. The Gemara says can't be counted for a minion if somebody's asleep. Misnamnein, the Gemara Bracha says. Why? Because we assume when you sleep, your neshama's up there. Your neshama goes back up. So you wash your hands when you wake up. One of the two reasons. Three. So then, so his body is gone. So he goes, kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer, when you have this anthropoid over here, whatever this golem is, once his, he's worse, he has no soul at all. He cannot be counted towards a minion at all. Can't be counted towards a minion. So the Shulchan Aruch, by the way, says a sleeping person can be counted towards a minion. Rav Vaji Yosef has a tshuva whether a guy is asleep and a minion counts Sefiras Omer, and at the same time he's dreaming about the Sefiras Omer, has he fulfilled the counting? Because it could be that it was deep, he was between REM states or whatever, and it could be there was enough of a consciousness, that's why he dreamt it. He dreamt it because something was going, you ever have that someone, you're like half up, you hear noise, and that thing goes into the way you're, a whole dream is formed based on something you might be hearing while you're hearing it. So Rav Vaji Yosef entertains the thought. In the end he says, ludicrous, but he says, you have an argument to say, he might need to be Yotzi the rest of the Omer from somebody else because Safek Rachos, but he mentions that idea. The furthest extreme, the opposite way. There's only one opinion the opposite way. I'll leave it to the Chassid. Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin. Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin has a little great kuntris in the back of his Sefer Resisei Laila. It's called Kuntris Divrei Chalomos. It's about dreams. It's in the back here. I gave it to you over there. So His position, Chalom Li, he said, I dreamt, these are all dreams he had, wow. Chalom Li Al-Masha, I dreamt about the Gemara in Sanhedrin.
Sure.
It's the paragraph right before the piece begins, conveniently.
I never dream about that.
Okay, I dreamt about the Gemara, you dream about the
Gittin. Is this the Tzadik, same guy?
Yeah, the Tzadikon, yeah, same guy. Cholam li al masha amr, I dreamt about what was there in Sanhedrin, Gemara, about this Gemara, the same one, that Chacham Tzvi says there's no purpose whatsoever to join him to a Davar Shebekdusha, because otherwise Reb Zera wouldn't have shoot him away. He goes, Ein Mukhrach. He goes, I don't buy that. The Yesh Lomer Dahaya Yir Shaloya Nasa Mazik Labrias. Maybe Reb Zera sent him away. You know why? Because he was afraid when this thing gets older, grows up. Kishe Yagdel Ktsas, it's going to start dangering people. Frankenstein. They were afraid of what they don't understand. That's why Reb Zera sent him away. Va'aza filo hosei yekashalo gamkin lagzir lafro ki yachol lahazik gam lo. So he goes, and he's afraid, you know, if Rava maybe, and maybe he was afraid Rava couldn't do it himself to just put him away, because the guy's going to get out of control, and before he grows out of control, you're going to have a problem on your hands.
He's having a Frankenstein nightmare.
What?
He's having a Frankenstein.
Exactly.
Nightmare.
He's dreaming about this right now.
You don't have to have kids. You have Ben Sutter and Ware who's going to totally...
You do the same thing. You put them out when they're young.
Gone. Clipping, gone. So what you see over here, interesting. He says over here, he thinks the Chacham Tzvi's argument is not a good argument, because he says, well, just because Reb Zera sent him away, doesn't mean, from there you see, he couldn't have been counted for a minion. Maybe he got rid of him because this guy could have wreaked havoc on the world, given the din of Ben Sora.
Which means that they're holding that he's created as a child.
Not just created as a child, I think Yagdil, I think just over time he's going to learn how to use things in the world, grow, get stronger,
develop as a
powerful, yeah, develop. I don't know, but that's a little baby golem going around.
Do you have exact proof of what they're saying, the reason why you can't use them?
Say?
I mean, isn't that the exact proof? They're saying that you can't use him because he doesn't have a mind, but if they're saying that in the future he's going to be able to do all these things, that he has the ability to think and learn and do these things.
It just says he's going to be mazik labrius, he's going to be a danger to society.
Right.
I don't know if people to think. I think back to the RoboCop muscle.
Right.
They needed to get Ed 209 out of there because they were afraid Ed 209.
Oh,
yeah, and also in Terminator 2, they were afraid when once what's going to happen. The problem begins once they become self-aware. Yeah, once they become self-aware, there's going to be a problem. Didn't mean they're human. Just the robots are going to learn to become self-aware. So you could have the same issue over here. So now,
iRobot.
What?
iRobot.
Was iRobot? Oh.
Your analogy.
Of which?
No, that's just a iRobot is a cheap RoboCop ripoff.
Right.
No, yeah, I Ato and I was a RoboCop, and the self-aware was iRobot.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So, discuss that. When you're right, you're not that way. Okay, so Xanaza Filo Aser Yekashalo Gamken self-aware. I just heard Schwarzenegger say it. It's in Terminator 2 also. Vaza Filo Aser Yekashalo Gamken Lach Zero Lafar.
Can't wait.
Okay, so he goes, and like the Yavit said, that one is that was made by his grandfather Rebel Yahu Baal Shem Al Kain Ainly Shows Birya Kazet El Baro Litzora Chadavar. You can only keep this thing around if you need it for something. The Mistama Had the Shadr the Commander. Rav Zera. The reason why Rav sent him to Rav Zera is because he probably needed something. Hold on, let's read this carefully. Hayel tzarech eizadavar kamos shelo nisparech, which the Gemara is not explaining. Ulach zero miyat acher, and therefore once he got whatever he needed, put him out. Hold on, she quotes another Gemara. Okay. No, psul for a korban. That's not going to help us. Here, the paragraph top left corner. So he goes, start from the bottom line, very bottom line on the right column. The Nira Lafar Shalakayim Zem, Mashikasa Beshelis Yaibet Sham, the Lo Adif Mecheresh Sheino Meshomea Beino Medaber, does not seem any better than a deaf mute, than a mute who does not hear and does not speak, a deaf mute. Vechem Birke Yosef, Ein Much Techeresh Lav Dratko Kodim, the Adam Notzer Below Das, hold on, Lufishain Lamedas from Neodem, Vinis Karsh Akakach, who if Neshnola Bochisar Moch, Ein Bodas. If it happened when he was born, that's when we say Ein Bodas. But something which was created normally. Yesh lomar de yesh bo gam ken das kibbet gotel. Va'af al pish ein shemei v'nadaber. Yesh lomar de eno mechisarim b'mocho. V'daito shelo ye bo das. He says, this thing is a bar das. This is the most extreme opinion we have. Rav Tzadok HaKohen Lublin says, this thing is a bar das.
You didn't, why though? He just says that it's not like...
Yeah, it says ve'im v'skarish
to a real clone.
Yeah,
ve'im
v'skarish hulafisha noled bo. This thing happened. Ve'im bo das avozeshen notzer bekomaso. This thing which was formed already at full life, the ka'adam gadol as an adult. Yesh lomar, perhaps it did have das. And he goes v'af shekosa bechesel avram to ein lo neshama v'ruach malat, couldn't be able to speak. Therefore, it's like ruach behemis. Therefore, you can kill it. So he says yesh lomar de makomo kom enaka behema b'dus adam shari notzer b'sefer yitzira al yedei. Yitziras Adam, but al yidei derech yitziras abehema. He says, I think you could also say it's not like an animal. It's better. Why? It was created through human beings who use the sefer yitzira. That's cloning. They're using not sefer yitzira, but they're using technology. It's humans using technology to create.
There seems to be a very clear distinction between cloning as we know today and golems of yesteryear. I mean, golems seem to be lacking certain, you know, human elements. They lack knowledge. They lack the ability to speak. They lack some human quality. Cloning, the way they foresee it today, is it's to replace, to give life. But these people are to be able to think, to be able to live, they're going to have a soul, going to have all that stuff.
So, no, but a soul. We just
clearly, Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin would concede that it is for sure. If he's already willing to say the golem is going to be a real
right.
Then certainly he'll say cloning. Certainly he'll say cloning. And he also says why Sefer Yetzirah is worse than cloning in the bottom paragraph. That was that which is created through Kedusha, through the Sefer Yetzirah. So the reason why speech couldn't exist there was because Mitzad HaSitra Achra for Ruach Mala Gamkin Iafshar Valkain Emedaber. It's not similar to an animal. The reason it couldn't speak is because it's this very holy mystical book, and we have a rule. Whenever you have something very holy and mystical, that's where the Sitra Achra, the dark forces, jump right on top. Right there. They always come right next to the holiest things. So he says that's why it couldn't speak. So it's not like an animal or something like that. Lo Dami La Behema. He goes, it's more similar. He goes, it's not similar to an animal at all. It can't speak because of the fact it has this Sitra Achra problem. It has this Sitra Achra problem. So fine.
It says it's like Rakhla Achum.
It says it's like it's more similar to a non-Jew. More similar to a non-Jew.
So if you take away the Sefer Yetzirah component, which is what's bringing the Sitra Achra, it's only coming because they used the vehicle of Kedusha. If it's a scientific vehicle, instead of a vehicle of Kedusha, the Sitra Achra doesn't attach itself to this new baby.
I think Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, you have more reason to say the clones nowadays are really
functional Jews.
Function Jews and everything. And Rabbi Yoshev Paskins, based on many of these opinions, we're saying, Rabbi Yoshev Paskins, that you can't fulfill the mitzvah. He thinks you could possibly fulfill the mitzvah of Puruvu through a clone. Through a clone, he suggests. Through a clone.
But why not just do, why not a different version of in vitro? Why clone yourself?
The topic for him comes up, by the way, of the in vitro. But, and of course, they'd recommend the in vitro. But if it happened through cloning, he says you may be able to fill the mitzvah. You've created more people into the world, even if it's you. More people.
Can I ask you this? Could it be earlier stuff we learned with, in terms of like grafting and stuff? Can a Jewish scientist do cloning?
Well, in all honest, excellent question. In all honesty, it doesn't seem like the poskim were extending this issue of kilayim to every area. You know, Ramban brought it up as a possibility on kilayim. The Sefer Chinuch said it about kishuv. I don't think halachically applied to any area. You could figure out how to mix and match. If I can mix a Ford and a Toyota and make something new, meaning it's not the ikar min, but beyond the rules the Torah gives you. Seems logically.
Is there a larger issue with using a baboon heart?
Beyond the issue, the limitations the Torah gives you, kilayim of the certain fruits it gives you,
right.
Beyond that, there's no problem. It seems. Beyond that, there'd be no problem. So I might have an ethical issue. What's it going to lead to? Okay, but beyond the social issue, forget it.
There's an interesting article in last week's Times that spoke about, apparently there was this Komodo dragon in a zoo in San Diego that they had no idea. There's certain animals that can, even though... Yeah.
The what?
Parthenogenesis, where they can... They can have their own
offspring
that's a clone. And they didn't know Komodo dragons do that. They know about sharks can do it, and a couple lizards can do it. And they had this Komodo dragon that hasn't had a male Komodo dragon in 10 years. And all of a sudden this female Komodo dragon had eggs inside her.
But it was the same, you're saying? It was
the same. They tested the DNA, and it was completely the same. And what the article was saying is that there's certain species of animals that recognize that in order to...
Survive.
In order to survive, they can go...
The Galapagos syndrome, they have like...
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was saying, at the end, it was saying, what's natural, which is interesting in the beginning that we were talking about living nature. Yeah. What's natural? You learn more about nature. They didn't know this.
Jurassic Park.
Well, how do you define? How do you define that which natural? So that which natural would be that which we don't understand yet.
And they were saying how do you? It's very difficult to study in nature because you have to catch one of these animals, test their DNA. You don't know when.
And not have a mate for it around.
Right.
They have to have known not to have a mate right around. Wow. Interesting. What?
What?
Really? To who?
Nice.
Very nice.
Wow.
That's a big one.
Everyone finds this Mara Mukul. Note to look in the Kuntra Derech Alamo.
Really?